So today is June 26, 2016. It's about 7:22 p.m. California time. I'm with my regular partner in crime here, Z.S. Livingstone, up in British Columbia, as well as Tim Bolin, an attorney who I've known for a number of years. Tim has been on the forefront of defending alternative medicine. I first came to know of Tim because of his aid and defense of Huldah Clark. I think I first contacted you or talked to you somewhere in the late 90s, Tim, and you were trying to, and doing a very good job, in fact, of extricating Huldah Clark from the clutches of, let's call it the establishment, who wanted to railroad her into prison over utterly bogus, trumped-up charges. I think that was in Wisconsin. And from there, you had to set the record straight with a guy named Stephen Barrett, who was doing his best to vilify her in every possible way by running a website called Quackwatch, which is dedicated to attempting to ridicule, destroy, and vilify the reputation of anybody who does anything or accomplishes anything of significance in the area of alternative medicine education. I was very happy that Tim came to rescue, if you will, Huldah Clark in the late 90s and continued to be a champion of her work, let's say, right up to her passing. So I've never personally met with Huldah Clark, but I know Tim was a close friend and confidant of her. So without further ado, I'd like to get into the meat of the subject we would like to talk about today, because Tim has also been on the cutting edge, if you will, of the battle to prevent mandatory vaccination laws. This has been passed here in California last year. It's called SB 277, in which any child going to public or private school or any child care facility, this not only applies to school children, but even baby care centers, any sort of organization that cares for children or is involved in schooling of children, is required to have all children meet a very rigorous and lengthy vaccination schedule, which used to be up to 69, but I think they've added a couple since last year, so it might even be 70 or 71 or 72 vaccinations that are required. Tim feels as strongly as I do about the wrongness of forcing such a mandate down a parent's throat, but beyond that, the last thing you would want to have the government mandating is something as damaging, poisonous, and unhealthy for the human body as vaccinations. So I talked to Tim prior to the passage of SB 277 last year in California, and I was talking about the strategy and who was involved in working on it and his opinion, and I found out things that were disappointing about the people who were attempting to stop it, the incompetence or the ineptitude of those who were putting themselves into the media as some sort of rallying organization didn't pan out at all. So I want to find out what Tim's best thoughts are on how to succeed in overturning SB 277. So they attempted a referendum gathering attempt in this year, in the early part of this year. They had 90 days in which to collect a certain amount of signatures, I think it was 368,000 signatures, in order to put it on the November 2016 ballot here in California. And the folks running it did a very poor job in my estimate, and they got a little over half of what they needed. So they did far too little, far too late. And we may touch on that, I'm not sure, but I want to ask him what he thinks is the best strategy to pursue, both among, let's say, the activist groups and individual California residents, parents especially, who do not want this mandatory vaccination bill to stand. So, Tim, welcome to our little podcast effort, and tell us what you think is the best advice to follow in trying to overturn SB 277.
Let me back up for a minute and make an important correction. You said I was an attorney. I'm not.
Excuse me.
I am a crisis management consultant, and the reason you thought I was is because I have a huge newsletter called the BolinReport.com. com, where I write about all of the court cases. I do back up attorneys in court cases big time. I am a strategist that works with the attorneys to prepare lawsuits, both defense and as plaintiffs, and I'm involved in that big time. But I did take, it was one of my majors in college was law, but I never went the route to become an attorney. I'm a crisis management consultant, and I'm very good at it, which is a lot more fun than being an attorney and having to sit there and go through all of that crap every day. I have a lot more opportunity to get around. Right. But let's talk about how, what this is about. Let's talk about the vaccine issue. I am one of the strongest, loudest anti-vaccine proponents in North America and probably planet Earth. I am totally and completely against vaccines of any sort. Why? Because they are a product of the drug industry, and I'll be blunt, you cannot trust anything that the drug industry tells you in the year 2016. I think everyone realizes that the drug industry is completely corrupt and is not acting in the interest of Americans.
Amen.
If we take a look at the nightly news, 55% to 60% of the advertising for that for the news hours are big pharma. Those same drugs that are being advertised now, new, 3 to 6 months from now, you'll see attorneys advertising on the smaller channels looking for plaintiffs to sue those same drug companies over those advertised drugs because of the massive amount of damage that's being done to the population because the FDA failed in their job to properly screen these drugs before they got out on the market. That's how bad things are in this country, and we're having a problem with it. Vaccinations are just one of the aspects here. What people don't realize is some background. In 2012 and 2013, most of the big patents for the drug industry ran out for all of those drugs you used to see advertised. They were making billions of dollars a year. But there's a way you go through patents so many years at a time, 17 years, and they had gotten through their second ones. Consequently, all those big-name drugs that they promoted heavily were now going to go to generic. They were going to lose fortunes. So we had the drug industry, and I read the financial journals. That's how I know what's going on. The drug industry was facing perhaps the end of the drug industry as we know it, which to me would be a good thing. But they had to come along and find alternative products. And one of the development things that they did were to promote more vaccines, and primarily for children. There's a big push to try and press vaccines on adults now. You're going to see it in some places, and I think we're going to have to face up to the fact that they're going to try and force vaccinate people in retirement homes, and they're going to, you're not allowed to go anywhere near a school unless you have, and they're not talking 3 or 4 vaccinations. Let's go over that for a minute. In the childhood vaccine scheme, when I was a child, from 0 to 18, I was required to have 4 vaccines, and you probably know what they are. I don't remember all the names, but they, mm-hmm. 4. My daughter, who's in her 40s now, had to have 7. This is the shocker for most people in a senior age group. Right now, between 0 and 18, you're required to have 69 mm-hmm. vaccines. And as you were right, Ken, the number's going to 72 mm-hmm. next year. Required vaccines. And while they're recommended by the CDC, from 0 to 3 years old, it's 49 and will go to 52. That's insane. You're going to put 52 vaccines into my 3-year-old grandchild? The mm-hmm. heck you are. It's like insane. There were problems with it. The drug companies are so cheap and so rotten and corrupt in the way they do this that they believe that they don't want to have to refrigerate their vaccines, even in this country. Oh, we can't refrigerate our vaccines. Well, why not? But especially in Africa and other places, they don't want to refrigerate them. So in this country, all countries, they put a preservative in it called Thimerosal. thimerosal is 52% mercury. Thimerosal was mercurochrome. If you remember that, it was banned as a topical because it has mercury. It's still in the vaccines as a preservative, and it's banned in this country because of the obvious damage that was being done, injected into a human body. The results of mercury are showing up, and it's a predominant cost of vaccine damage to children. And they, although the government denies it, everybody knows that autism, millions of children on the autism spectrum now, the primary cause is if they're 15 years or so year old, were the thimerosal-laced vaccines. We took out thimerosal 50 years ago from childhood vaccines, but to cover it all up, they started promoting the idea of you have to have flu shots. All flu shots have thimerosal in them, 52% mercury. That amount of mercury that's in there, 25 milligrams, you have, according to EPA standards, you have to weigh 550 pounds to disseminate that, and they put a flu shot into a six-pound infant. That's insane. So they're causing major problems with anything with vaccines. Now, the another thing I'll touch on quickly before we go into the Senate Bill 277 is the fact that I mentioned this when we talked earlier today, Ken. I started tracing vaccines and how they were produced. As you know, everything's been shipped out of this country. They don't want to pay Americans to make stuff. They ship it out to elsewhere. And for a number of years, the biggest manufacturers of vaccines were India and Bangladesh. Talk about poverty situations. And, you know, I just get a mental picture of scooping up whatever's in a sewer, putting it into tubes. You know, you're dealing with third world countries here, which have no quality control mechanisms whatsoever built into their society. Well, what happened is, apparently the Indians and the Bangladeshi were charging too much to Merck and the others, so Merck invested in China, invested in making plants in China. And the Chinese, you know, they all cut corners anywhere there are. They invested in a major plant in China, and this is all, no, the major news media doesn't know this, but again, I read the financial journals, and that's where I find out about where to invest your money and a lot of pharmaceuticals. They all talk about the risks. Well, the very first batch that came out of that plant, was a contract with Japan for one of the early vaccines. It wasn't one of the really early for children. 17 children died the first day that they used it, and Japan immediately shut it down. And then they had to, you know, the plant, they had to throw away the whole batch and et cetera, et cetera. But that's quality control in China. Well, now 83% of all the vaccines made for use in this country are made in China. There are, hear me, there are no testing procedures whatsoever. Whatever the Chinese put into a vaccine that comes to this country goes right into your child or your grandchild. Nobody looks to see if there's death in that tube. It's made in China. If that doesn't frighten people, this is horrible. The whole situation of this. And now, California. Oh, my gosh, California. The land of golden dreams. Well, the golden dreams these days are for the Democratic Party. Here, 78% of the California legislature are Democrats. Thus, the political position here is simple. It's all about employee unions, like the same problem we had in Wisconsin, and it's all about construction unions who build the roads and the freeways and stuff like that, and that stupid bullet train is supposed to fund all these unions for a number of years. It's all about funding the Democratic, apparatus. So the health department, and what's going on with the vaccines is that, I'm going to tell you how they're funded. Money comes out of the federal budget and goes to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which is called the CDC. The CDC is part of the Department of Health and Human Services. There's a secretary position there. And DHHS is at the top. That's the right under the, it's a cabinet position. under that is the CDC, the FDA, groups like that. Well, the FDA and the CDC are completely corrupt. It's like not even a funny joke. They're so tied into the industry that this is a revolving door at the FDA between the drug companies, and it's terrible. It's really got to be fixed because Americans are dying left and right over this. So when you get down to the vaccines, because the vaccine program, the drug industry hates the trial lawyers association worse than anything. They could, you know, they try to get tort reform and every other thing to stop the attorneys from suing them. Why? Because only the attorneys are our last line of defense against drug companies that'll put whatever they want into something and make you take it. So what happened is, back in the late 80s, they got a law passed removing liability for vaccines in this country. So what? What? What do you mean? The drug companies have no liability for vaccines, which is why they're making them in China. They don't have any liability. Why have quality control? Why spend a cent on a vaccine when you don't have to? Because you don't have any quality control. You have no liability. They really don't. So they turned over, they charge 75 cents per vaccine as it comes out of the factory. It goes into this fund for vaccine damage. And it's paid out billions of dollars so far, but in the end, the whole fund is a joke because they fight tooth and nail not to pay, but even so, they're paying out billions of dollars because the significant amount of damage that's being done by vaccines to the population in this country is way worse than people know. Right. 1 in 6 children can have neurodevelopment issues right. in this country. It's horrible. This is terrible what's happened here. And right now it's breaking down. As you know, Donald Trump has come out against the vaccine issues and wants to do something about it, and he will. He said that, of course, vaccines are autism-related, and oh, my God. And Hillary Clinton is claiming everybody needs to be vaccinated, and she would line up everybody and put them in FEMA camps and vaccinate us right into the ground. That's where her money's coming from. So when you look at it, vaccines, now. I just told you about the childhood issue. There's a similar plan, and you can find this on the CDC website. This isn't something I just made up out of thin air. It's hard to find. You can go to the CDC website and look up the adult vaccine program and find that there's 90 recommended vaccines for adults. 90? I'm going to get 90 vaccines because they're going to require. No, they're not. No, that's not going to happen. Well, you know, we say it's not going to happen, but they're going to try it. I wouldn't get a flu shot. I'm not going to get anybody says, well, we need a pneumonia vaccine. And, no, I don't, thank you. But they're going to try and force the vaccines on us even more. Right. But let's go back and talk about what happened in California last year. Again, one more little background thing. I am a crisis management consultant, but I'm also an advocate, and I get involved in social issues, and I get involved in organizing campaigns. I don't like to run campaigns. What I like to do is to train younger people to run campaigns that way. You know, it's the same old story. If I give a man a fish, he can feed his family today. If you teach a man to fish, he can eat for it. They can eat forever. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I am in my life right now. And so here's the problem. 18 to 20 years ago, we had a significant what we call health freedom movement in California. And as you know, I was active with Hulda Clark in the 90s and then late 90s and 2000, and I made a campaign fund. I took the opposition that came after her, and I used their blood to grease my clients' economic wheels. And I made Stephen Barrett, who you talked about, who has that website, quackwatch.com, I called him up after I had beaten him to a pulp over Hulda Clark. And I would like the way I ran the campaign. I increased her book sales by $1 million a year, accusing the fact that they were after her. I billed her as the most dangerous woman in America to the medical establishment, and her book sold like hotcakes after that. And you know I did that. And I remember talking to you, and we were laughing over the stuff that's happening because we made that campaign fun.
Yes.
because I just say, you know, we don't have to be concerned about the opposition. Let's slap them around a little bit and see what happens.
Right.
Well, you know, it all came out of Stephen Barrett sued me, and I ate him up. It was like such fun. But in other words, I love war. Oh, let's have a war.
Right.
So, anyway, 20 years ago, we won a huge number of battles in California. We got legislation passed protecting all of our cutting-edge practitioners here. We got, for all different levels, protecting health food stores, protecting everything that's what's called alternative medicine. And then what we know here, we became a state, a safe haven for all this kind of stuff.
Right.
We were the one. And it spread across many other states, did the same thing. And I was involved in all that. We won so many battles, Ken, we just folded up our tent and went home and drank some wine.
Yep.
And we all got old. So 18 years later, here comes an effort to inject children with vaccines, like mandatory. And we don't have an apparatus anymore. A lot of the people that worked on our campaigns, frankly, are dead.
Mm-hmm.
They died of old age. I'm 72. I'm very active, but I'm still 72.
Okay.
I was one of the younger ones involved in that stuff.
Right.
Some of them are still around, but, you know, it's a matter of oiling your wheelchair almost to get around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not really, but, you know, I mean, Frank Cooney, you remember Frank was writing the bills up there? Frank's in a wheelchair. He's had a couple of heart attacks. I talked to him on the phone. We remember the old days.
Mm-hmm.
Fun we had, but we've got to put together a brand-new apparatus in California, and that's where I was leading up to when I said background.
Right.
Because one day I got a phone call from some people who knew who I was. They were a little older. And they knew the kind of work that I do, and they know that I'm the, as my wife said, I'm married to the God of War. And I went, okay, let me come down from Mount Olympus here, and let me look at this campaign. Well, what had happened is they brought out this bill, Senate Bill 277, and they were fast-tracking it before an apparatus could be built to defeat it.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate Bill 277 made it mandatory for all children to go to public or private schools and any kind of education that they had to have all of these vaccines before they could go into the school. But they had to have this number by this time and then more by the seventh grade, see, going up to the 18 years old thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mandatory. And people, what happened is a lot of mothers, you know, my mothers are the basis of this, were not vaccinating according to the schedule because everyone in California knows families that have autistic or damaged children.
Mm-hmm.
Autism is just the worst end of the spectrum that happens from vaccine damage. There's a whole 1 in 6 children have neurological issues because of vaccines, although it's denied. But there's a fortune in vaccines for the drug companies and for the pediatricians. I have some actual pediatrician friends who wish I wouldn't keep saying this, but I consider the average pediatrician and the pediatric associations to be human scum. They know how bad the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
They make a lot of money doing what they do. The pediatricians' Well Baby program.
Mm.
The pediatricians in their Well Baby program, they are the only doctors on planet Earth that want you to bring your child in when they're perfectly healthy so they can inject them with crap according to the schedule.
Right.
Well Baby program is all about money. I did articles on this. How much money does a pediatrician make? Well, the money starts, you know, it's X amount of dollars. It costs about $66,000 a year. But now when you start adding on how much money they make for vaccinating, their salary goes from anywhere from $66,000 to $400,000 to $500,000 a year.
Wow. I had no idea. That kind of... Wow.
Take home after they fund the practice. That's why pediatricians are... That is all about vaccines.
Holy mackerel.
It's horrible. And they're, pediatricians, they know better. And they'll, parents come back, and my child's had a 106, 107 fever for 4 days. And Was it the vaccine? It'll go right to their face. No, it wasn't. You're blah, 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 blah. You know, have you been slapping the child? I mean, really?
Right.
All kinds of denial all over everything. The SIDS thing, sudden infant death. Thousands of parents, after they get their child vaccinated, the child dies in the crib.
Right.
They will shake themselves to death, and they're arresting the parents for allegedly beating the child. And it's like, it's all vaccines. Vaccines are doing it. They're finally coming around to finding all this out. Vaccines are horrible, and the people that, you know, to me, vaccine peddlers are no different than drug peddlers in the street.
Right.
It's that. But yet, they have the media. They have the media who go, you're anti-vaxxers. So I just started saying, yep, I am an anti-vaxxer, and here's why. And now one more bit of history, and I'll go on to what happened with Senate Bill 277.
Right, okay.
Okay?
Right.
The claim is this, that vaccines are safe and effective. True. You probably have articles that know you know better than that. Vaccines are not safe. There's all kinds of problems. There's all kinds of problems that you can find written in the vaccine insert information right in the package about what the dangers are. Of course there's dangers to vaccines. Of course you can't make something in a one-size-fits-all. There are tests that should be given to children to see if they would react to certain kinds of vaccines, but the pediatricians won't do it. They don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
You could have something, reactive that would cause all kinds of problems. Well, they don't want to do the testing.
Right.
But it gets worse. They are not safe. Just assume that. They're not safe. Not even counting the fact they're made in China, nobody tests them. Well, effective. They want you to believe that vaccines actually work. They don't work. Hardly ever. The vaccines that we're looking at now, they claim, well, vaccines have saved the world from all these preventable diseases. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So much information out there that shows that, for instance, we saved the world from measles. They developed the measles vaccine 23 years after measles was eradicated in this country. A hundred cases a year, mm-hmm. where we used to have hundreds of thousands of cases a year. It had nothing to do with the vaccine. The vaccine came 23 years after we'd done it. It came about because we established public health programs.
Mm-hmm.
We got rid of open sewers on the streets. We had clean water. That's everything right there. Clean water and control of the sewers. And the other thing was we started learning about nutrition. With clean water and good sewers and nutrition, we defeated measles and all these other preventable diseases,
mm-hmm.
including polio. And when they say, we saved the world from polio, aren't looking at what Jonas Salk wrote later on about it. Jonas Salk said that the polio vaccine was a complete failure. Oh, we want to hear that. He said that the oral vaccine, after the fact, was causing all of the polio in this country. Conveniently forget. Oh, no, the polio vaccine saved everybody. That's an outright lie.
Right.
So the whole vaccines are safe and effective is built on a series of lies and just sheer crap. Well, so now we come along and they're going to make them mandatory. So I wasn't called until I wasn't paying attention to that. I have other stuff to do in my life.
Yeah.
And somebody called me and said, Tim, we need some help. What's up? They were about two-thirds of the way through the legislative process trying to stop it in committee. And they weren't, I guess somebody called me and I made some calls and I asked some very astute questions. You could tell what kind of questions I would ask. And I went, what? Their argument to defeat the bill was that we know vaccines are safe and effective. We just want personal choice.
Holy pickle.
I went, oh my God. I went, hold on a minute. I said, you do know this is a Democratic state, right? Democratic Party. They go, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, that statement you made, personal choice, is something the Republicans say. You've got 24% of the legislature here are Republican. All of the Republicans voted against SB 277, and all the Democrats voted for it. Democrats are all for big government. Well, we're the government. We'll take care of you. That's what the state is. So I said to them, you're using the wrong argument. You can't keep saying that. Well, if we use that to say that vaccines are not safe, they won't listen to us. I said, they're not listening to you now. Change your message. But they didn't. They wouldn't do it. I said, okay, tell me who your apparatus is and how it's all working. Well, that's all private. If you want help, I kind of know how you're organizing your organizational apparatus, who's in charge and who's making decisions, where's the money coming from your campaigns. Well, we can't tell you that. We won't tell you that. I said, now you're beginning to make me suspicious. Because, Ken, you've been around as long as I have. You people get quiet like that. You get a certain amount of that, but very specific questions. Who's running our side? And I said to the people, do you know what the term controlled opposition is? So, what? What's that? Well, the American Cancer Society comes out and claims that they're all about solving the cancer problem. But since 1972, when Nixon started the war on cancer, the cancer industry said they would have the cancer whipped in 3.5 years. It's how long has it been since 1972? We haven't made any gains in cancer at all. The American Cancer Society is what's called controlled opposition. They don't let anything new happen.
Right.
And that same thing is happening in the world of autism. There's a group out there that calls themselves Autism Speaks. We speak for autism, but they refuse to look at what's causing autism. And they have, last time I looked, they had a $65 million budget. And that money all comes from secret sources to control the message to say, we don't know what's causing autism.
Yep.
Imagine getting $65 million to not look at what
yes,
the problem is.
That's what it's all about. You've got it.
It's controlled opposition. So I looked here. I said, okay, let's have a meeting, a telephone meeting in the morning. I'm going to see other people on here. I want to know who specifically is behind this, what's going on with this, because it could be that the people are just dumb. There could be a lot of that.
Yeah.
It could be that they are controlled opposition and making sure that this bill does not get defeated.
Yep.
Any number of these things. That's what happened. It went through the legislature. It passed through this group of people who I'm now adamantly opposed to having anything to do with the next what's going to happen, because they played all these games, and they lost. Well, they could have done a whole lot better, and I criticized it. And then I started looking, and then, I have a large newsletter, thebolinreport.com. I have close to 200,000 subscribers, and not everybody reads it every time. You know how that is. But I send it out, a little teaser out there. It's free. And if you want to read the article, click here, and you can go see the article on the site. If you don't, then, hey, have a nice day. But I started in on it, and I have lists on top of lists, and I started to make a dent in California. Well, who's this old guy? Well, who's he? You know, if you thought about it, the last time I operated, I was operating with their grandmother or their mother. Think about it. Their father, see? Different age group.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, my God, that's Tim Boland. You know, you go, yeah, it is. Oh, my God. And then I wrote an article that started the whole fight in California, and I created a nightmare of opposition and people screaming at each other over what happened. The article was called, What Would the California Legislature Have Done If They'd Been Told the Truth About Vaccines? And it went like wildfire across the country. Millions of people read that article. And I quoted it and everything else because I said vaccines are not safe. Vaccines and blah, blah, blah. And it's still up on my site. Anybody can go find that. Then I started doing bits and pieces of series. Well, a group came up quickly by a former governor candidate named Tim Donnelly. Was an assemblyman out in the desert, out in Victorville, up in that area, maybe all the way to Arrowhead. You know how they gerrymander districts? They look like a worm laying on a map.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not square or any shape. They just whatever that is. Well, he's got an unusual district. He comes up with a referendum idea to put Senate Bill 277 on the California ballot and have the people vote on it. And if they get enough signatures, they needed 386,000 signatures. And if they got it on the ballot, that would have to be on hold until the people of California voted on it. And I heard about this and I went, is it going to be a special election? So they said, what does that mean? Oh, well, what ballot is it going to be on? Does anybody know? Well, what's the difference? It's going to be on the ballot. I said, what ballot?
Yep.
And they went, what's the difference? I said, is it going to be, for instance, on the presidential election ballot in November of 2016? I said, well, we think that's what they said. Yeah. I said, or is there going to have to be a special election for this on an off year? I said, why? What's the difference? Said, oh, my God. A huge difference.
Right.
Huge difference. If it's going to be an off year, only the people who are in favor of it are going to go to the polls. Nobody else cares. The biggest single political position in California or anywhere, Ken, you know this, is apathy. People don't, if there's not a pothole outside of their driveway that'll break their teeth and spill their coffee in their lap when they back the Honda Civic out of the garage to go to work, if there's not a pothole, they will never call the city for any reason. They won't even know that there is a city.
Right.
That's apathy. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just the way life is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so when you do this, you know, here we are back at this point where if it's going to be a special election, no, they're going to put it on the ballot for the presidential election. I went, don't do that. Stop this. Don't do this referendum. They gathered 270,000 signatures or 240,000. They really didn't know. They were totally unorganized. The money that they raised went to strange places. I have a good friend, Andrew, who did all of the investigation on all. He said, Tim, it's a nightmare. It's a monstrous can of dead worms. Oh, my God. I said, mm-hmm. I made a conscious decision not to tear it apart and tell everybody how really bad it was, Ken. And because a lot of it were parents that really thought they were on the right track.
Right.
But others were misleading them. And the money went in all the wrong ways. And I had to say, in the end, thank God they didn't get the signatures.
Right.
It would be on this ballot. And Big Pharma would have put up $500 million. And we would have had mandatory vaccine etched in granite because the people have spoken.
Right.
And I went, thank God you'd mentioned it. So there was this referendum. Then the third thing, the same group of people who were screwing all this up had put together a Recall Pan campaign. They were raising money for that. Pan. Senator Richard Pan was the guy who carried the bill. He had just recently been a senator. He got $4.8 million for Big Pharma to become a senator.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, blah blah blah, and he thought he was going to run for president. I'm sure until we started hammering him, but they were going to recall him. They raised money, they did all this, they had control of it, and they did nothing to recall him. So our so-called movement lost the first three battles.
Right.
So you asked what needs to be done. Well, my message has been simple: suck it up. Water under the bridge. You're going to lose some battles. You're going to lose up front. I said to people, war is my thing. We did not get into the Second World War until Japan attacked our military naval structure in Pearl Harbor and destroyed most of our battleships. They set us back big. It took us a long time to recover from that and get into the war. But look what we did to Japan.
Right.
So we tell the people we have a juggernaut we have people who are so angry and upset. I said, don't get discouraged. We have the numbers. They have the money. We need to run some campaigns where that is the deciding factor. We don't care how much money they have. So, and we have that now. So what's being developed right now, Ken, is the apparatus. And the way I'm watching it develop right now is an angry group of younger people with damaged vaccine-damaged children who are aware, who got slapped down by the Democratic Party in California, are coming along and saying, the hell you will. These are upper-middle-class parents, primarily white, college-educated. They were Democrats, liberal Democrats who believed in environmental issues, et cetera, et cetera. And they're changing. They found out what the Democratic Party really was in California. And unbelievable, tens, 20s, 30s, 40,000 of them out here organizing now. Do you ask what's happening? My message to them is simple. Organize. Get by the fact that you lost. Oh, well, I've lost battles a long time ago. I'm not accustomed to losing anymore because I went through all of that. You need to organize, and it is organizing. We're starting to see billboards. I said to them, and I'm getting backing from Andy Wakefield, all the top people are coming in and saying what I started to say in the beginning. You cannot allow the message that vaccines are safe and effective to keep going on. They are not. So we have campaigns all over the state now that with billboards and bumper stickers and all kinds of things, lectures everywhere, that vaccines are not safe and effective. We do social media campaigns with millions of messages going out. Our war, and you ask what that is to make it very clear to California and the American public that vaccines are not only not safe and not effective, but they're total crap, poison, and that there's something else going on. And Ken, we're of the same mind here. This mandatory vaccine program is not about preventing that. You know, and I know, what's really happening here. They're putting in place a delivery system. We watched what happened in Nigeria. They started the vaccines as a delivery system to supposedly, and this has all been in the papers, well, not here so much, but I've written about it because it's been in, the Catholic Church came out against this. They were giving the pregnant women or potentially pregnant women some kind of a vaccine for such and such and such in Africa, five of them in a row, and they were lacing them with sterility drugs.
Right.
Okay. Then they got the Catholic Church, 18 bishops of the Catholic Church came out against that in Nigeria. That's what's going to happen here. Everybody knows that. They want to vaccinate our children, and they don't want us to know or even question what's really in those vaccines. And as you know, mm-hmm. a vaccine permeates the blood-brain barrier, where it passes right through it right now. It causes issues right now. If you were to take a pill, your body has natural things that will fight off something, a reaction. If you get this and this and this. But when you inject it directly into the body, all that's bypassed. You've done major, almost irreversible damage. Well, what's happening is there are groups of doctors, and you know who they are, not only just doctors, but health professionals, who are looking at how to reverse the effects of vaccine damage. And if they get them early enough, you can look at a successful 70% recovery rate. Now, that's not really good for a parent who expected their child to be like them, to be 70% of what they are. But I'll tell you what, somebody that their child's beating their head against the wall until it's bloody, that's an amazing recovery. But if you could, you can recover from autism now. But the war is on over all of this because the vaccines that are doing it. You wanted to know from me what should be done in California and the other states. Remember, California is the only state that has passed. All the other states rejected it, big time. our apparatus are still in place across the country. Texas, Peter McCarthy writes for my Bolin Report. Peter is a former Air Force officer. He ran, he flew B-52 bombers for the Air Force. Then he was a pilot with Southwest Airlines for a number of years. And now he heads up the Texas Health Freedom Coalition, which represents about 50, 60,000 members in Texas. They're a political body. They're not a political warm body. They're an active group. Texas has had a number of bill attempts there. With that kind of numbers, I think there's about 30 groups within their coalition that make up the membership. Their total membership together is 50 or 60,000. But they, all those different groups work together. When they see a bill that comes up that could do them damage, they jump on it. They tried it in Texas, too, and they killed that bill before it ever got out of hearing. Really.
Mm.
That's what needs to happen here, is that we need
exactly
a standing apparatus of people who can do this stuff and can do it for a number of years. Because, hey, I'm 72. I can't keep doing this. I can't even train the new
right.
kids. And they're, and I, that's going to be fun. I keep telling them, you're going to make friends for life. You're going to make mm-hmm. friends with people who think like you do. You're going to enjoy it. As you could tell, I really enjoy my life. I was personal friends with Hulda Clark. Oh, my God. Talk about mm-hmm. brilliant mind.
Mm-hmm.
My, they were talking to her. I'd fly across the country with her sitting in a seat next to her, and she talked to me about science and stuff like that. I was mm-hmm. amazed that I knew what she was talking about. My mm-hmm. area was political science, although I had science and, you know, some in college and some there. But my thing is political science, economics, business, law, that sort of area. But we were very good friends, and I could make her laugh. I just thoroughly enjoyed Hulda Clark. Great person. Oh, my, and so brilliant. And you know, oh, wow. I once told her, I made a joke about that. I said, somebody would say, what's your role with Hulda Clark? I said, I'm her thug. He went, what? I said,
That's good.
I go with her and we take her. I'm 6 feet tall and I'm not little. I mean, you know. And I'm obviously aggressive, so you know, somebody comes in Hulda Clark, they're gonna be hurt. And I'm assertive and aggressive, but funny. And she's like would hide behind me, and I would just go on. I provided the security when I took her places. It wasn't just me; I had security. When I took Hulda Clark to events, I had security. I had to because of the crazies. But the crazies learned that they should be very afraid of what's going to happen if they cause a scene. And I meant it. I really did. You're going to go to jail and you're going to be something broken when you go because mm-hmm. the people defending Hulda Clark aren't going to put up with you trying to hurt her. And I meant it.
Right.
And we did. But, you know, it was a really, I get to meet the top people in healthcare. I don't know mm-hmm. any whether we put this to say that I meet the people that care. They really are trying to solve problems. This isn't about pushing pills for 8 hours and going to get on your boat. No, these people, I meet brilliant people who care. And it's like, I used to work for a big company and da-da-da-da-da, and then I got out and got into this. And my life changed because I meet the top super people. And mm-hmm. in America, I met congressmen and senators and states and governors. And I got, there are wonderful people at the top. And there's also a whole pile of scum, too. But back to this, what about California? Number one thing is the building apparatus is going to stay. And that is happening. I'm involved with a Facebook group called Awake, as like Awake, Asleep, Awake. Awake California, run by a really nice woman named Carrie Lewis, a mother, a child, and very active, blah, 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 and she has a group that she works with within that, and they carefully screen everything that's coming up to help. And the reason they do it is to provide common sense. They will say, if you would like to do a project, we'll be glad to take a look at it privately and see, tell you what we think. Whether, and if we decide to promote it, then we'll tell you that. If we decide not to promote it, we'll tell you that. We can either be quiet about it or whatever, but or we might not be quiet about it if it's a bad project. Well, that's working, because what's happening is that's building a network, because they're inclusive rather than exclusive, and they're starting to find the people who are going to be able to work together. Now, the first thing, obviously, is to focus on the fact that vaccines are not safe and effective. We've got to get that idea out of the public mind, Darren.
Mm-hmm.
And now, the other thing, of course, is there's a group of doctors who I'm semi-affiliated with, we'll just discuss to what extent, who have figured out how to get medical exemptions for children that could be potentially damaged. They're looking at specifically the things that are damaging about vaccines and how to set it up if you have concerns, what tests can be done to show that you could be badly, your child could be badly affected, whether it is. There's a group of doctors who are working on this, and I say doctors, I mean health professionals and scientists, to establish what a medical exemption would do, so that the at-risk children have a way to defend. The parents have a way to stop it if they're going to react to it. And that's all working, and there's some attorneys working on that stuff in the background with it to establish the rules for medical exemptions. And I like what's happening there, because it'll get challenged, but we're ready for a challenge. The laws are there, and we're going to be able to set it up. But let me diverse for a minute. They're basically saying that if you want to go to public or private school, that you have to have these vaccines unless you can get a medical exemption. No more personal exemption or religious exemptions. We'll challenge that, because as I mentioned before, there is a lawsuit brewing, and I do know about it, and I am in favor of it. Well, let's see what happens. It hasn't quite come into existence yet, but anybody who wants to know about that can follow on my website and get on there, and I'll start talking about it when it happens. It'll be all over Facebook. But I know the attorneys personally involved in it. They are people They're attorneys I've known for years who tell it like it is. They're realists. They go, you don't always win, but here's our best shot. And I go, I agree with you. This is a good shot. This is how we're going to do it. So I will see that. Whether we overturn it or not, I keep saying, well, we may overturn it, we may not. But all the same, this is a long-term war. So there is that. But I've covered the fact that we're coming out with a program to talk that vaccines are not safe and effective. And two, we're talking about how to get medical exemptions to protect people. And three, there is a good lawsuit coming up. The main thing here is education, and there are other aspects of what's happening in terms of Senate Bill 277. Right now, it's just a matter of settling in, and straight out advice for if people who are listening to your podcast that want to know where to go, I would say that if you're interested in participating in the process, join Away California. You will get screened. You will be asked why you want to be there. We don't want the trolls and the moles and the other people. You know, we've talked about how that works.
Right.
And if you act up and act stupid while you're there, you're gone. And we have to do that. We're looking for activists. We're going to be starting training for people. And it will happen, how to do this stuff, how to form these committees, how to do that. That's all happening. So, back to the C. What's the other point I was going to make on SB 277?
Well, I think there might be a third one yet, but I think you did cover three broad areas.
There's a fourth and a fifth, but the main thing that's happening here, Ken, is to be mm-hmm. able to establish trust that's going to last a long time. I mean, you and I have been around a long time. We know that there are people who can be trusted. We We've seen the people in the movements who dedicate their life to this. They don't care if they make a lot of money. That's not their issue. They come out of mom with some kind of willingness to take on the problems of the world. I'm a Catholic schoolboy, and I'm in a private school, when we were in Catholic school, and of course I was the one that was in the principal's office a lot, as you can imagine, from fighting on the playground. Of course I was. Irish, what are you going to do? Well, that's mm-hmm. But the thing about it is that there's a moral code that comes out of that kind of an education. And one thing that the sisters, the Dominican sisters, inflicted on us was that we were smart people and that we were going to be leaders in the community. And as such, we owed an obligation to humanity because we were gifted. And that gift came from God, and that God wanted mm-hmm. you to exercise your abilities for the good of mankind. That's inflicted on us in the fifth grade, and it was not a bad thing. It was mm-hmm. a good thing. And you see that
yes, sir,
based in what we call the Judeo-Christian ethic. It's not mm-hmm. just Catholic. It's the not Zionism, please. We're not comparing that thing at all. Not there. But in the Judeo-Christian ethic, which most of us were raised under, we were raised to do things the right way and to take care of others and to do these things and to, have laws in place. I live with that pattern. And I see now, of course, in our society that there's an effort to try and get rid of that. And I'm not subscribing to that crap. I believe in all these things, and that's the way it is. Well, but happening, okay. Here's where I was going to go. They took homeschoolers out of the bill. If you're going to be homeschooled, you don't have to be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some changes in the way homeschooling is done because they can't stop the homeschoolers, really, from associating. So what's going to happen is you're going to see homeschool schools. Got it?
I see.
You know why that's important? Because the major universities are shopping for children who came out of the homeschool process. Why? They're 50-75% on average better. Public educated children.
Yep.
They're 30-30% better than the private schools. The homeschool children with the process, because the homeschooler's got a big hit. You're homeschooling your children. The materials that you get through the homeschooling associations are so much better than school. Is your kids are going to be way ahead. So here's the question. If the vaccine issue made you decide to have to homeschool your child and it had to change your life, did you just up your life? I think they did. Because the public mm-hmm. school system in California is frankly crap.
Right.
We got this common core crud permeating right. public schools. It's like they make a joke. They say, oh, your child said that the teacher, your son, your seven-year-old son, said that the teacher, his teacher was pretty, so they sent him home for punishment for 2 days.
Wow.
They do that. You know that. Well, the good part is that they missed the lecture on why you should be accepting of homosexuality over the next 2 days. About
right.
it. They're what a common core. I mean, what are they trying? They're trying to use the schools to turn our children against us. And is it a good thing to homeschool? If you parents are looking at this, California, it costs so much to live here that it's like amazing. I bought a home in 1970s in one of the richest communities in Southern California. Laguna Niguel, California. 72, I paid $29,500 for that house.
Wow.
22 years later, that's 40 years ago now, I got out of there. Those houses were going for over $1 million. It's insane. Who can buy a house? So what it is there's two income families. But now younger people are looking for smaller homes. They don't want these big boxes. I didn't have a big box. It was just normal. But people are changing their values, Ken. And I think that's a good thing. They're changing their values. Say, you know what? I don't need a big $4,500 square foot house, place to park a monster boat and a bunch of motorcycles. No, we don't want to live that lifestyle. We'd rather have a smaller home where we can be friendly with the neighbors and we can travel. And going, whoa, because we want the kids to see the mountains. We want the kids, and I think, well, I have to hand it to the younger people that are talking like that, Ken. My God, they're going through a value shift right here in front of us in reaction to the consumerism that's paralyzed California. So this whole thing about vaccines, I said this before, you'll see it in one of my articles, you probably read all that, that's why you called me, that the vaccine issue right now is, in fact, the beginning of the second civil war in this country. It's happening right now across this country. It started out as a little bit of anti-vaccine. I talked to Sherry Tenpenny, MD, you know who she is, Stan.
Yes.
And Sherry and I have known each other for 30 years, and I said, Sherry, this is, she was out here for a speaking at a conference, and I went, Sherry, 3 years ago, there were 8-9 people with big names who were talking about the problems of vaccines. Sherry, right now, your name is on fire, and mine is too, and others are out here. All these younger people are quoting us as though we were the pages of the Bible. There are now millions of anti-vaxxers. Millions of people who are betting it about what's wrong with vaccines in this country, what's wrong with our medical system. It's like, oh, my God, Ken. And then you look at this. You have to accept responsibility for that too, Buster. Their people are reading you. They're listening to you. It's hard to believe that after all, you know, you think, my God, these younger people are listening to us? Oh, I better clean up my act. You know, sometimes on some of my things, I'll say, you know, like I'm talking to my friends, and I'll throw in a little, you know, language here and there. The worm is turning.
Yeah.
What's happening with the Trump campaign is a slice that nobody expected. I mean, you know, it's like people are reacting out there, and it's like it's funny. My daughter's liberal, Democrat. I'm a conservative. That's just a father-daughter thing. You got to expect that. My daughter is totally in favor of Bernie Sanders, and I went, you know, I like Bernie. I like the way he sounds. I wouldn't mind having dinner with a guy. I mean, I'd like to talk to him for hours. He's an interesting guy. To me, in this country, we need different points of view. That's how we balance the situation. Well, I like Trump because he's hard, he's tough like me, and he says it like it is. He's not burdened with the politics. And I think that all this is necessary, but my daughter doesn't want to hear that. She says, you know, here's the problem. That on a lot of issues, Trump and Bernie sound the same. They're talking about the fact that America is collapsing and we got to get it back, and here's why. And they're talking the same things. But of course, Hillary Clinton isn't. My God, Hillary Clinton, please. How did we get to the point where she could even qualify to run for president of the United States? But we got her.
Right.
They were in a mess. You know, we're going on in this country, the vaccine issue is just taking off across this nation. It's permeating social media, which is where the young people are. I don't even understand Twitter. How can you get a message across with 144 characters? Like, there's a joke, you know this, probably heard this one. In California, they say that the problem with instant gratification is that it takes too long.
Ha 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 ha! That's funny.
I can understand Twitter with 144 characters, and they keep saying, Tim, you got to learn Twitter, you got to learn Twitter, you got to learn Twitter. I go, I can't learn Twitter. Why? I'm too old to own a skateboard. You go, Tim, no, no, no. Twitter is for younger people than that. Well, yeah, skateboard's right, but there's other things now for even younger people where they get messages across. I don't even know what they all are. I can't think. I don't even want to keep up. I was making a joke when we talked earlier, is that I resisted getting a cell phone. And I went to a smartphone, but I don't want a smartphone. Before, I told you this earlier. I got this really cool smartphone that I got as a gift. It's got a leather cover, and a phone rings. And if somebody's calling that I got to talk to. I'm in the car and I'm driving. So they'll flip the thing open and they got to slide your hand across in a certain way. I swear to God, you got to wave a magic round wand. I don't know. Say something special. Who knows? But whatever it is, I don't get to answer the phone. And I make a joke.
Right.
Instead of answering the phone, I get directions to Madagascar in Hungarian. I don't want this.
Yeah.
I went back to my flip phone, and I have it, you know, I carry it around. I was making a joke earlier today. I've been driving around for days now with my old comfortable flip phone. I'm holding on to it like it's an amulet, because it does. I'm driving along, and somebody calls me. I flip it open with my thumb, and I answer it, and I can see the name on there, and I got to call somebody else, flick, push the thing down, click. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like an amulet for me. It's really cool. I'm very comfortable with everything that's happening.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to be in the slot that you're in. And but the younger people, I think that America be in for some change. And I think, you know, we've got to take America back. If we're going to be the leader in the world, we've got to get the jobs back. We have to have jobs here. Right. I travel around the country everywhere in my work, and I had said this 10 years ago. I was talking to some congressman friend of mine. I said, I was in eastern Pennsylvania. Actually, I was there to testify against Stephen Barrett in a court case, so I was having fun, you know, in town, Pennsylvania. But that whole area of Pennsylvania there, the industries have moved out completely. The towns, they're, you know, they were around a long time, they were factory towns, where they're the centers of America. I mean, if you go through that whole belt, all the way up through Michigan and Ohio and Indiana, you've got towns that are gone because they moved the jobs to other countries.
Yes.
What's happening in eastern Pennsylvania, and I went around and I looked, is that white people are in the same position there as black people were in Mississippi in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
It's that
I
Central
see.
America, it's in the center of America. So we have a lot of work to do.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's because all of this, of course, was planned. The impoverishment of America, the weakening of America politically, financially, and particularly morally. There is a intentional agenda to not only dumb down Americans, but to encourage
slavery, forced slavery. The student loan program is a hoax. You're never going to be able to pay off your student loans unless you bond yourself.
Right.
The doctors that come out of college, they think they're going to go and save the world. They have $350,000 worth of student loans they need to pay off. They're told right away by the drug rep that you better keep your nose to the grindstone, boy.
Right.
You're unemployed. Right. You can't pay those student loans, and you cannot get rid of them. It's a form of indentured servant. It's.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
absolutely.
Not, you know, the student loan program sucks. You cannot get out of it. And, you know, it happens to too many people. We're, our whole system has been manipulated. I was born in 1943. I remember after the war. I remember the boom. I remember the 50s and the 60s of the light of America.
It was a wonderful time
it
to be.
It was. I remember
to grow up
exactly where I was when Jack Kennedy was killed. Oh my God! I went. This is the end of America. That was the day the music died. But there are not that many people of our generation that remember what it was like to have a president like John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And Reagan, another one. People made fun of Reagan and go, No, Reagan was absolutely brilliant. And I just, it doesn't matter what party they were, the specialness of America is something we need to get back. Can Donald Trump do it?
Yeah.
I think he can. I think he can. So we'll see what's going to happen because we've got elections coming up. We cannot. Seriously, smart people. Here's another issue. It has nothing to do with vaccines. But do you know, Ken, have you ever done anything on the expat program? You know what I'm...
The what program? What's the name?
The expat program.
Like an expatriate? Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, so. I was doing a project that failed, helping over stem cells. Now, there's two kinds of stem cells. There are these, what do they call them, that they make them out of dead babies, sort of that one. And here in this country, it was popular. And then in other countries, they have what they call the adult stem cells. They're made out of umbilical cord is the most popular. I was trying to put together with the Mexican government several years ago a program in Mexico where they could get adult stem cells that were grown appropriately, and you can't patent them. So you can't patent any of that, so that the drug companies aren't going to get it at all. That's why the other one was so popular here, because you could patent it. Anyway, what we were trying to do was we knew before the laws changed that cerebral palsy, there's hundreds of thousands of children that have a cerebral palsy. It's oxygen deprivation at birth, and their brains, you know, gone. We were literally down in Mexico. Children under 8, you could recover 100%. I am not kidding. So here we were involved in a project down there. So what we were looking for was centers where, because the child would have to come down and stay down and do this certain thing. They were trying to get the price right and every other thing, working with the Mexican government to establish this process where we could do adult stem cells and reverse cerebral palsy. That was our target. And, of course, it would work for autism, too. And we knew that you had to clean the body out and get rid of heavy metals and stuff ahead of time. But I couldn't get it together because for a number of reasons with the laws and whatnot, it never developed. But what I did find was in Mexico, something I never expected, there's whole areas of Mexico which are retired American U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. Whole cities.
Okay.
Pieces of Mexico throughout it. They're what they call the expat community. Why? They could go down there and live on Social Security, and their money goes 2 to 3 times as far. There's a monstrous U.S. and European community in Chile, Ecuador, and starting into Uruguay. They're welcome there. Now, I started looking into that in the expat community. Somebody else said, Tim, it's not just there. Americans, you think Americans are fleeing California as a novelty. Americans are fleeing the United States in droves, going to these countries where they're welcome. They have a steady income. They're not going to Brazil because it's too big. But they're, you know, here's another one. How in the world would Americans live in Egypt? I mean, according to our media, it's a horrible place to be with, you know, all kinds of radicals. But there's a huge American expat community there. And, of course, Israel, but that's specialized. But you expats all, I mean, the world is changing. The European community in Mexico is heavy. The Europeans are living a different life in Chile, and that's why Rima's down there. She said, Tim, the towns are wonderful. The people are friendly. It's like the U.S. used to be in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. You hear me? Got to bring America back to them. We really do.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So I'm glad you're interested in the idea of trying to inspire younger people, because they have to get on board, because the You know, the older generation naturally passes from this life to another, and so it's time to see to it that younger voices emerge. It's important to emphasize some points you made in the course of this conversation. It was either 1986 or 87, probably 86. The U.S. government passed a law that relieved all damage liabilities from pharmaceutical companies. Yes. That law should never have been passed.
For vaccines only, and not for all drugs, just vaccines.
Okay, for vaccines only, but that's where the lion's share of the damage is. So they created another sort of administrative type of situation. They call it a vaccine court, but it's not really a court at all. It's just an administrative function. And even to, though, if your child is damaged for life or dies as a result of vaccine, you still, if you try to apply to that, it's not like, oh, it's a rubber stamp deal and, you know, they're going to give you a few million dollars. It's nothing like that. You have to fight tooth and nail to try to establish that the vaccine was the cause of the death of the neurological damage. They fight it tooth and nail.
Yeah, it is. It's stacked against the parents big time. It really is.
Right. So parents need to realize that. Once it happens, don't think you're going to mount any sort of major there's no one to sue because there are – a law was passed that literally gave them carte blanche protection against being sued. So – for anything related to
well, you know, it was
damage,
so. Our people, Ken, that were helping get that law passed. It was our people involved in it, and it's some people that I know, what's her name from National Vaccine Information Center was behind that law, Barbara LoFisher, and she said one of the worst mistakes I ever made. But as I said to her, Barbara, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Right.
And we got to reverse it. We know we have to reverse it. So.
Yeah, you can't be a fence-sitter when it comes to vaccines. And not that I want to necessarily criticize her, but I have not been impressed with her, let's say, middle of the road. If it's okay if you want to get them. No. There's nothing good about vaccines. And people who really study the subject, I think I have maybe 200 books available online telling the in great depth on the books have been coming out decade after decade explaining exactly what it is about vaccines. But the best, let's say, expose I've got yet on it was when I just came upon the work of a Canadian doctor whose name was Andrew Molden.
Yep.
Dr. Andrew Molden did a wonderful, let's say, expose in the late 2010 period in which he put together these videos, which are available online, and I have a few articles devoted to explaining what Molden did and what he talked about. And parents need to realize that every vaccine creates what's called ischemia. When you're injected with a vaccine, your immune system instantaneously goes into hyper alert mode. You have injected something that the body does not want in it. As a result, the body tries to mitigate the situation by producing white blood cells. Essentially, it's attempting to remove these substances from the blood from the bloodstream. What happens is that when you get into these fine capillary networks, which now you're not talking arteries that have large diameter, we're talking arteries that have an inner diameter of the diameter of a human hair or smaller. They're called microvascular capillary networks. Your brain is filled with these networks. What happens is that, and Molden proved this, he has photos, it's amazing what this guy has done. It's all on his DVD. If you go to my current news page, you find the Molden articles. I link you right to his DVDs. Spend the time to look at the DVDs. It's about 6 hours worth of DVDs.
Is there him? He's on the DVD?
He's lecturing. He used to sell this thing, and since he passed away, all his stuff is available free online. I've got it all on my website. Molden's work is very important. So
we need to do a crossover on Molden. I've been looking for that. I didn't know you had that, Ken. I'm sorry, I just missed that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll send you a link. But I just want to make the point that this ischemia, what happens is that as white blood cells flood into these microcapillary networks areas, a white blood cell is much larger than a red blood cell. Now, people who are knowledgeable in this area know that, but the average citizen does not know that. There's a big difference between the physical size of a white blood cell and the physical diameter of a red blood cell. Well, red blood cells are what carries the oxygen and the hemoglobin to feed all of your cells in your body, particularly the cells in your brain. And what happens is that as these white blood cells are rapidly produced by the body, when you get vaccinated, it goes into, it follows the entire circulatory system of the body. So it winds up in these smaller networks. These white blood cells are too big to fit through the micro diameter of these thousands of miles of mini super microscopic sized capillaries. What happens? They jam up at the entrance to that capillary. So now it can't get any blood at all through it. That's called ischemia. And that's what's happening every time you get vaccinated. And you're just lucky if your body is old enough or strong enough that you can withstand that assault. But hundreds of kids are killed every year in this country by vaccinations for the reasons I just explained.
Yep.
Parents need to know this. Sure, there's plenty of toxins. There's the thimerosal, there's the adjuvants.
Yep.
We can talk about all these additives to the vaccines, but the very act of injecting a vaccine, which the body recognizes as a foreign invader, triggers an immune response that leads to what's called an ischemic attack. This creates mini strokes, if you will. Stroke is a blockage to an artery network that feeds cells. The cells die, and that's what we're calling a stroke. So what's happening is you're getting these ischemic attacks with every vaccine. There is no such thing as any vaccine being safe. Parents don't know that.
72,
parents
though.
Don't know that.
72 required.
Right, right. And the more you have, we just did an interview, ZS and I, a couple months ago, with a Louisiana woman named Christy Day. Her little child, oh my God, she was a trooper, following everything the baby doctor told her to do, and she came in for the 3 or the 5 week point after the baby being born, and was scheduled for a number of vaccines. That baby died 9 days after getting 5 or 6 or 7 vaccines at that one office visit. And she kicks herself, for not being more.
But the pediatrician was able to make his boat payment.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point.
Or his plane payment. Okay. Or he got a gift for his mistress.
Yeah. Hmm? Tim, have you heard of the woman, RN, called Carrie Rivera, who's continuing on the line of work that Huldah Regeer Clark started on clearing parasites? She's in Puerto Vallarta. And she's now cured 216 children of autism.
Yes. Well, she goes to Autism One, which I'm a backer of Autism One big time. When they tried to shut down Autism One, I got in the face of the people that were trying to shut it down, and I went, look me in the eye and hear me exactly what I'm telling you. Autism One is under my protection. Are you getting my message?
Yeah.
And they backed off. Wonder why.
Okay.
In other words, what happens in Autism 1 is I will not only defend it, but they who come after Autism 1, I'll come after them. And so, yes, I know about Carrie Rivera. I've not met her personally, and I know about the attacks across the country, about the people, you know, the government coming after the people that are supplying, what's the name of the...
MMS.
Yes, MMS.
Yes. That story. Yes.
I got it.
Yeah, there's a guy named Daniel, I forgot his
right.
last name.
Doesn't matter, but the people supplying it are under attack just because they sell it. I mean,
right.
it's like,
right.
they gotta stop, you know, it's like,
there's a lot of products out there that really need to be on the market because they just do good mm-hmm. stuff. HGH is another one. Human growth hormone should be out there. It's good at, for sale and like aspirin. It really improves what's happening. It's not that, you know, it really needs to be openly on the market. Of course, they can't let that be on the market.
Yeah, well, you'd have the Olympic Committee shutting you down.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's a joke. I mean, I know that, you know, it's like, whoa, what? You know, the stuff that works for you, they don't want. They don't want nutrition. They don't want nutrition taught in schools. They don't want, right. you know, oh, no, we can't have people healthy. There's no market. So,
right.
Yeah. So, anyway, gentlemen, I had a good time. How are we doing for time? Yes. Are we about to wrap it up?
We're gonna wrap it up. I just want to repeat that your website is the Bolen
Report. Nope, just Bolen Report. BolenReport.com. BolenReport.com. We're going in a new direction. We'll pop up if somebody goes there, and there's a picture of a really cool sailing ship. I'm one of those people. If I see one of those anywhere historical, I gotta crawl all over it. I love sailing ships.
Yes.
All right, buddy. I appreciate the.
Okay. Well, wait. Yes? I just want to get straight. The Facebook page that you're recommending that people should look at, particularly for the California yes. SB 277 issue, is a Facebook page called Awake California.
Correct.
So to join, you go to Facebook, Wake California, and contact them, and they're
yes,
going to
they'll ask you why you want to be there. And that's a good question. I mean, because they don't want mm-hmm. the trolls, they don't want the pharmaceutical people there, you know, making a mess. They'll ask you who you are, and I think, and that's more than reasonable. And then they want you to, you know, come in and play, and you're going to ask any questions you want. You got to be, you know, we're very civil. We're trying to build through this a network of people who can work together.
Perfect. ZS, any final thoughts or comments?
You've been real quiet. We're going to have to do a different
I was learning a lot from you. You mentioned about expats. There's a lot of expats in Canada. You know, that Calgary is the largest expat city in the world for Americans. There's 100,000 Americans in Calgary.
Wow. You know, I didn't know you're Canadian. You weren't talking much Canadian. You never said A even once.
I didn't speak very much at all. That's very Canadian.
Yeah, I was joking with somebody in Canada. I said, I speak some Canadian, eh?
A boat in a boot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're doing it. Yeah, you're up in BC.
Yeah, central BC.
Oh wow! Well, I've been up to Bush Art Gardens. That's it.
Okay, the beautiful parts.
Well, yeah. No, we wanted to let you talk today, Tim, because we wanted to hear what you have to say, and we will have do other conversations with you, and we will, participate more, but I really wanted to get your thoughts on the whole strategy of what needs to be done, and I think you brought out some very important points, particularly the point about the referendum vote. If they had gotten it on the ballot, this is a very important point you made, if it had gotten on the ballot, what they would have lost it, because what people should know, if they don't know, is they when the pharmaceutical industry wants to kill something, they just pour in money.
Yep.
And they have the money, and you know, the parents of kids going to school who do the best they can to try to build up a war chest of, you know, $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 is nothing next to $500 million, which is a drop
right.
in the bucket for these guys. Because when they want to bring in someone like Ben Allen or Richard Pan, no problem. They just fund their campaign, fund them right into office, which is what happened, by the way. They were both elected in November of 2014 to the Senate. They were put
there
to play the role that they did in February of 2015 by introducing SB
277. That's right. But, you know, here's the thing that I tell people. It sounds, because there is so much money there, that they're going to win all the time. They're not. Why?
Mm-hmm.
It's the mercenaries. Their whole army are mercenaries. They are mercenaries. When you have activists, and you outnumber them humongously,
yep.
all you do is put together tactics where our numbers are what count, where activism is what counts, where you do that, and you introduce the army that way. I mean, war is my thing, and organizing campaigns is important. It's like the Americans in our war against Britain for our Revolutionary War, we were going to lose if we were going to line up our blue coats who were yesterday a farmer.
Yeah, right. We're going to play
their
game.
We're not playing
their
game. You got to hide behind a wall and kill them. And then when they're shooting at you, their bullets hit a wall. When they've shot, then you get up and shoot them while they're standing there. You know how to do that. You got to change the rules of war. If you got to do that, and that's what we learned to do.
Right.
It's time, Ken. It's time. Time. That's good. It's time. We got all these younger people, and we just go, I got all this gray hair here. You know, all the guys can walk faster and further than I can, but I'll tell you all the tricks. So, there it is.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate you interviewing me. I had fun.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today, Tim. We will probably talk again on other occasions about other related issues. But thank you, ZS, for coming on board tonight, and thank you, Tim Boland.
Yep.
And look forward to picking up the conversation with both of
you. Thank you. See you later.
Okay, guys. Okay, good.